Grace to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. What do we call these word combinations? A little pregnant, jumbo shrimp, plastic silverware, unbiased opinion, fresh dried fruit, oxymorons, got it. Moms, can you be a little pregnant? Or how about cruel kindness or make haste slowly? For Christians, we seem to think those things don't apply to us, but I believe today in our gospel reading, Jesus is trying to say we may belong to this group more than we expected. Because he's making it clear in Luke 9 that we are not to be oxymorons. We're not to be casual Christians or casual members of his church. Today, Jesus wants to speak to us about being a true disciple. As Jesus' earthly ministry was coming to a close, he set his eyes on Jerusalem, knowing that what followed would be disastrous in his earthly life. You see, he would be facing a betrayal, an arrest, a trial that was unfair. He'd be beaten. He'd face, yes, being nailed to the cross, and ultimately death. But this is the very reason that Christ was born on that first Christmas, when he took on human flesh. He did that in order to fulfill what we couldn't do, the entire law of God. And then to pay for our sins and shortcomings, he died that we might live. So it's no wonder that people wanted to follow Jesus when he was here on his earthly ministry. So this one man approaches Jesus and says, "I'll follow you wherever you go." But Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens, birds of the air nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." What was Jesus really saying to this man? Have you thought this through? Have you figured out the cost of being a disciple? You see, it's not for those who are looking for a life of leisure here on earth. See, the man had probably heard Jesus preach with authority, observed him conduct these miracles, but was he really noticing that Gethsemane and Golgotha were also part of what Jesus was going through? I recently witnessed a baptism at my church of a college student from Cal State up the hill. As a member of the church, I was excited. She was definitely excited. In fact, the church was excited about this too. But then I started getting nervous in the coming Sundays because the last few weeks she hasn't been at those services. Did we give her the impression that being a Christian is an easy task? Did we give her an impression that once you're brought in, then you can use your time as you so choose? Now, it could be she's on summer break, and that's what I'm hoping has taken place. But I know as pastor at Good Shepherd over the years, I took a number of teenagers through confirmation instruction, only to watch them too drift away shortly thereafter and not having regular attendance on Sundays. You see, being a Christian may mean that we might lose some of our lifelong friendships. Why? Because you and I are different now. Our time, our talents, our treasures, they belong to the Lord. And our friends may not understand this. They may think that because now we're a child of God, we can't have fun anymore. So there are costs to being a disciple. In our text today, Jesus was not trying to scare off would-be followers, but rather he wanted to draw them close and remind them that following maybe carried some complications with it, some complications that others wouldn't understand. And those trials and challenges could drive them away until they remembered, yes, this is just what Jesus was telling me, that there were going to be some costs. And now I know I'm not alone, but Jesus will see me through them as well. So what's wrong with the man who needed time to bury his father before joining Jesus? From Jesus' response, it seems that this man's parents were still alive and in their elderly years, and he was probably saying, "I'll follow you, Lord, but I've got to be with my parents now, and once they're gone, then I'll come and follow you." Because, of course, Jesus wants us to look after our parents and family. And from Jesus' answer, though, it appears as though this man was using them as an excuse. Oh, Jesus was to come first in their life. And we have to ask ourselves today, is Jesus a priority of my life as well? Jesus is to come even before our work, our family, and yes, even our children. But we do want our children to do well in academic subjects, and we want them to do some extracurricular things as well, such as sports and maybe dance or play a musical instrument. All those things make a full life for our kids that will help them throughout their life. But as we know, we also need to have them gather with us regularly and other Christians around the Word of God, and also have devotional times in our homes each day. But if our Sundays are taken up by so many things that happen Sunday mornings now for kids, then they'll have trouble having Jesus as a priority of their lives. And so it does take some questions and works with parents to figure out what is best for their children. Every day we need God to remind us who we are and whose we are by His grace. Why would we ever want to be a casual disciple of Jesus anyway? Because He was certainly not casual when He brought us into the family. He gave His life that we might be members of it. And I also know that with stuff here on earth, we're not casual. If someone gives me a gift card to a fancy restaurant that I really like to go to, I don't throw it aside and say, maybe I'll get around to it sometime. But start planning and thinking, man, when can we go and use this? My mouth is already watering. And that's how genuine disciples are to be about being followers of Christ and His Word. Now there's another person that Jesus invited to follow. This one said, sure thing, Jesus, just let me say goodbye to my family. Now, really, what is the harm with that statement? But remember what Jesus says, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. We know God doesn't forbid, and Jesus certainly didn't forbid any of his disciples from interacting with their families. In fact, we have an Old Testament example of Elisha, who was called by God to be his prophet. And what did Elisha do but to go home to his family? But while he was there, he took his plow and broke it up to make a firewood out of it. And he killed his oxen and served it on that barbecued fire that he made to his family and friends. You see, what he was saying was, I'll be your prophet, but I'm never going back to being a farmer once again. This call is official. And so, too, you and I need to be following Christ without having double thoughts about it. This man apparently wanted to stay committed to his other loves of life as well as following Christ. It's kind of like a kid who's on his bike riding but continually looking back. And what happens? Soon he hits a parked car or a telephone pole. It's a disaster. So Christians, focus on what it means to be a child of God. If you don't, you risk what happened to Lot's wife. Here, when Sodom and Gomorrah was being destroyed, she couldn't leave it all behind. She had to look back and became a pillar of salt. Today, in Luke chapter 9, Jesus tells us that there's a better way, and that better way is to follow Jesus. In fact, Jesus is so committed to each of us, we never have to fear, where is He, or will He listen to my prayers, or does He care about me? We know the truth of that, that He's with us in all circumstances. I suppose the discipleship I'm speaking of almost sounds like a fanatic, but it's certainly not a fanaticism that the world understands. Because recall when James and John were not welcomed in the city of Samaria, this little village, they asked, Lord, should we bring down fire from heaven and destroy this village? And Jesus said, no, let's go on to another place. You see, true disciples are not called to be judges. We are not to bring down curses or demean those who are caught in sin. We are to always love others. Yes, we tell them the truth about sin, and then we pray for them. And then we wait for the power of the Holy Spirit to take that word and transform hearts and lives. You see, Jesus is patient with his disciples. And he wants everyone to understand this gift of forgiveness, and so should we. So being a dedicated disciple of Jesus doesn't mean that we have to be in protest marches in order to show up those who don't know Christ. Instead, we're to look for ways to winsomely tell of the hope that is within us because of what Christ has done, and then patiently wait as we pray for them regularly. After all, Jesus wants everyone to be saved. And if you read on in the book of Luke, you discover that the Samaritans later on welcomed Jesus. And perhaps it was even the folks from this very village that had first not welcomed him who did this. And so when some of the people we know may make fun of us or chide us about our Christian faith, be patient as well. God may use that very witness at some day in their life to bring them to faith as well. And so, brothers and sisters, I personally know that Jesus has compassion on each and every one of us. I know as a former casual disciple, it amazes me that God has been so patient with me throughout my life. He died that I might live, and he lives that I might never die. How can I be casual about following him, the one who can even turn evil that comes my way into eternal good by his grace? So I can stop being an oxymoron. I can stop because I know I've received the gift of everlasting life. And Christ has paid the biggest cost to make sure that that happens. So being a child of God helps me focus on the tasks ahead, and that I can reflect then the heart of Christ, my Savior, to others. I ran across an illustration a number of years ago that was really helpful for me, and it's going to be on the screen today for a little bit. That illustration began with a presenter taking a large glass jar. And he had these large rocks and put them in the jar until no more would go. Is it full now? Well, yes, it looks full. But then he had another jar he brought out with pebbles in and dumped them into that jar, shook it as he did so, and sure enough, they filled in other places. Quite a few went into the jar. So he said, now is it full? Oh, yes, it's full. Well, then he took some sand and poured it in and shook the jar until the sand filled all the other empty spots. And so then he asked, so what does this jar illustrate to you? A young man raised his hand and says, I learned that I can always cram more things into my life. Well, the presenter said, no, that's not the lesson. The lesson is that if you don't take time and put the important things in first, they'll get pushed out and never have a place to fit in your life. So you and I, as children of God, don't let the things of this world push out the most important things and the relationship that God has entrusted to each and every one of us. You see, God is not some used car salesman that says you have to make a choice right now, but rather he's patient and offers again and again this gift of life. Jesus continually invites us to follow him and waits for us till he becomes a priority of your life and of mine. Jesus knows that once the Holy Spirit transforms us into his family, that we can become the people he created us to be, and that we can live the abundant life he offers to you and me. And now may the peace that surpasses our human understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.